So today we begin spontaneous devotional service, reading about spontaneous devotional service. By chance, I opened the page to one of the items in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and it reminded me of one incident with Srila Prabhupada. Here the verse is, we didn't discuss it, but the verse is, it is better to accept the miseries of being encaged within bars and surrounded by burning flames than to associate with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. Such association is a very great hardship. This comes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-111, and it's on page 57. In the verse book. And the next verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita says, one should not even see those who are bereft of devotional service in Krishna consciousness and who are therefore devoid of pious activities. So one time Srila Prabhupada's secretary named Shamsundar Prabhu was reading Time magazine on the balcony of the Calcutta temple. And Srila Prabhupada came onto the balcony and saw him. And Srila Prabhupada commented that the people depicted in Time magazine are so sinful and so demonic that we should not even see their pictures. If we simply see their pictures, we will lose all pious credits. So again, I thought Srila Prabhupada was using strong words, but then I found here in Chaitanya Charitamrita the same statement. One should not even see those who are bereft of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada also quoted the other verse, which appears in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When we were in Madras, we met one man who was supposed to be very religious in Madras, and he volunteered to organize Srila Prabhupada's program there. He was the leader of one organization called Astika Samaj. And he said he would arrange the program in his own hall. He would arrange to invite the people. He would arrange to receive Srila Prabhupada at the airport and everything. But eventually, things did not work because the man was an impersonalist. And somehow, although he offered to do the service, he couldn't really do the service. Then when Srila Prabhupada came, thinking about how religious the man was supposed to be and how much he had offered to help, I thought of maybe meeting him. And Srila Prabhupada quoted some verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that it's better to embrace an alligator or live in a cage of fire than to associate with non-devotees. So he was very strict. He was not impressed by the fact that someone was known as religious or someone presented himself as religious. Somehow he understood that the person was an impersonalist and therefore a person to be avoided. So now we can turn to page, we can follow the order of the verses here. Page 95 in the verse book. Yesterday, some common misconceptions about Raganuga Bhakti were expressed. So maybe before we begin the discussion, we should clear some of the misconceptions. The basic misconception is that after the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti, one comes to the stage of Raganuga Bhakti. But actually, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti are two processes that can run parallel to each other. In other words, by Vaidhi Bhakti one can achieve Bhava Bhakti, and by Raganuga Bhakti one can attain Bhava Bhakti. It's not that one has to go from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raganuga Bhakti. One process is based on faith in the injunctions of the scriptures, and the other process is based on spontaneous desire to serve Krishna in the mood of one of the residents of Vrindavan. So one can continue in the mood of Vaidhi Bhakti through bhava and prema and go to Vaikuntha. Or one can follow the process of Raganuga Bhakti and attain bhava and prema and go to Goloka. So there are two different processes that take one to two different destinations. And every individual has his own swarup, or his own eternal form and eternal service. Some may have eternal service to Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. Some may have eternal service to Lord Ram in Ayodhya. Some may have eternal service to Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And some may have eternal service to Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. But if someone has eternal service, has the seed of eternal service to Krishna in Vrindavan, in his heart, and if he hears about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, and if he gets the mercy of some Raganuga Vaishnav, then greed can awaken. And greed is actually what makes one eligible for Raganuga Bhakti. In Vaidhi Bhakti, one is eligible by faith. And one serves the Lord in obedience to the injunctions of Guru and Shastra without spontaneous desire. And in Raganuga Bhakti, there is spontaneous desire which is not dependent on the rulings or the reasonings of scripture. it is quite independent of the rulings and reasonings of the scriptures. Now, first, we should know what is rag. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-272, the definition is given. Ishte swarasiki raga parama avishtata. Ishte means unto the desired object of life. Krishna. Swarasiki. Swarasiki means appropriate for one's own original aptitude of love. Swarasiki also means that when one thinks of one's desired object of love, he becomes constantly absorbed in remembering the pastimes of Krishna. And one pastime follows another without any interruption. This is swarasiki. Like flowers on a string in a garland. One follows the other continuously, and there's no interruption. When one develops raga, one's heart becomes colored with love for Krishna. And even when Krishna is not present, the color remains, and the devotee sees Krishna everywhere and always remembers the pastimes of Krishna, one after the other, continuously. Like honey. If you pour honey from a bottle, there are so many drops of honey, but they become continuous. There's no separation or gap. So ishte swarasi ki raga parama avishtata, completely absorbed. And then devotional service, which follows one's attachment, is called ragatmika. Just like I'm deeply absorbed in love for Krishna, and in the mood of love for Krishna, I want to collect some flowers and string a garland to offer to Lord Krishna. So the service of collecting flowers and stringing the garland follows my intense mood of service to Krishna. So that is raga and ragatmika. And on page 96, virajantim abhivyaktam rajavasi janadishu ragatmikam anushita yasa raga nugochite. Devotional service and spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service. So the eternal associates of Krishna are Ragatmika Bhaktas. And devotees who want to enter the same mood as the residents of Vrindavan and serve Krishna in the same mood, following them, are called Raganuga. Such rag is found in purity only in Vrindavan. But it exists to some extent in Dwarka also. Now, generally, we speak about the development of love of Godhead up to the point of prema. Because generally, as long as we are in the material world or in the material body, we can only achieve bhava bhakti or at most prema bhakti. But there are some stages of development after prema, and there are 7 of them. After prema comes sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, and mahabhav. So rag is some development beyond simple prema. With simple prema or sneha, one can go to Vaikuntha. But in order to go to Goloka Vrindavan, one has to have at least raga. So, prem, sneh means affection. Man means, you could say, the anger of love. Now, in Vaikuntha or in Ayodhya, there's no chance that the devotee can become angry with the Lord. There's no chance. If any devotee expressed anger to the Lord in Vaikuntha or in Ayodhya, there would be immediate reaction. But in Vrindavan, if Krishna breaks the pot of butter and starts to eat and distribute the contents to monkeys and other friends, then Mother Yasoda becomes angry and she takes up her whipping stick. But if Hanuman were to come to Vraja and see Mother Yasoda lifting the stick to Krishna, he would immediately become angry that Krishna is my Lord. How dare she lift a stick to him? Or if he saw some cowherd boyfriends wrestling with Krishna, getting on top of Krishna and hitting him, Hanuman would immediately become angry that Krishna is my Lord. How can they fight with him. So the love of the residents of Vrindavan is characterized by the fact that they see the Lord like a human being, like them. Of course, they're also not human beings. They're expansions of the internal potency of Krishna. But the pastimes in Vrindavan are called Nar-lila, which means human-like pastimes. So, by the influence of Yoga Maya, the devotees in Vrindavan consider themselves to be ordinary people, and they consider Krishna also to be one of them. So there is a feeling of equality. And therefore the attachment is much stronger, raga. Whereas in Vaikuntha, the attachment will be weaker because of the sense of the opulences of the Lord. The devotee will feel some distance between him and the Lord, some fear and respect. And I think that I would like to assist Subal in taking care of the cows. If the cows are thirsty, I will lead them to the river and make them drink and then bring them back to Subal. Then the other disciple said, when I hear about the activities of the gopis, I become attracted. So I think I would like to assist Lalita Devi in her service to Radha and Krishna. Then the guru blessed them. He told the first one that you become an assistant to Subal and you carry on your practices accordingly. And he blessed the second disciple also, that you become an assistant to Lalita and you carry on your practices accordingly. Then, by the mercy of the guru, the first disciple began to see the guru as manifestation of Subal. And the second disciple began to see the guru as manifestation of Lalita. But if you read Jiva Dharma, you will see how many stages they passed through before they came to the stage of Raganuga Bhakti.
Depends on the intensity of the feelings, which can come only from the mercy of Krishna.
He says it depends on the intensity of the feelings, which can come only from the mercy of Krishna. Or Vaishnava. What about Vaishnavas?
There have been cases that have been dealt with directly. Maybe he has sent his mercy through some Vaishnava.
Yes. Like Gokumar. He had the mercy of his guru.
Dhruva had his mercy direct from Narayana, but through Narayana.
Then what is the meaning of direct if it's through Narada?
No, it was initiated by Narayana. He appointed Narada to take this mercy to him. Not that Dhruva found out Narada and sought his mercy through.
True.
That is what I mean.
By the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna.
That's what I'm trying to say.
All right. After class yesterday, there were some interesting questions about Raganuga Bhakti. So I thought I would begin by addressing some of the issues that were discussed. some devotees expressed some anxiety. And actually, as long as we're serving Guru and Gauranga, we really don't need to be in anxiety. For example, we have not, in most cases, we have not made any effort to meet our spiritual master. But Krishna has arranged. And by his mercy, or by their mercy, we have made some progress. At least we've been able to come to Vrindavan, to Krishna Balaram temple in Kartik, and now we are able to discuss Krishna Katha. So if we surrender ourselves or dedicate ourselves fully to the service and the mission of Guru and Gauranga, they will make all arrangements. I thought of one verse that confirms the same fact. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 19. Yat sevaya bhagavata kutastaya madudvisha rati raso bhavet tivra hadayor vyasanar dana. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distress. Purport. The association of a bona fide spiritual master can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The word rati rasa is significant in this verse. Service to the Lord is rendered in different transcendental mellows, relationships: neutral, active, friendly, parental, and nuptial. A living entity in the liberated position of transcendental service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above-mentioned mellows. And when one is engaged in transcendental loving service to the Lord, one's service attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. So if we continue to serve the spiritual master and Krishna, they will arrange everything, whatever we need, to advance further in devotional service. So we don't need to be anxious. Another anxiety that some devotees expressed was, what if they don't have the seed of Vraja Bhakti or Madhurya Bhakti? Actually, I think that most devotees who are attracted to the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have the seed of Raja Bhakti, because the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specially meant to give Raja Bhakti or cultivate it. So I think most devotees who come to the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have the seed of Raja Bhakti or Madhurya Bhakti. But at the same time, we should know that every soul is completely satisfied in his own relationship with Krishna. And he feels that his relationship or his mood of service is best. Every devotee is thrilled to have the service of the Lord in his own particular relationship. And he doesn't feel any envy or any lack of satisfaction or happiness. In fact, he won't want to change his service for any other service, or his master for any other master. There's one story that Garuda came to Hanuman and told Hanuman that your eternal master Krishna is calling you to Dwarka. Hanuman replied that I'm very old now and I cannot go to Dwarka very easily, and I'm not feeling well also. Garuda said, never mind, I will carry you. Then he tried to lift up Hanuman, but he couldn't. He couldn't even lift his tail. Hanuman was so powerful. Then, after some time, Garuda came back and he said, your eternal master, Ram, is calling you. Hanuman said, yes, I'm going at once. Then Garuda said, if you want, I can carry you. And Hanuman said, no, I'm just taking my bath and going. Then Garuda also began to fly to Lord Ram. And as he was flying on the way to Lord Ram, he saw Hanuman coming back. Hanuman had already gone to Ram and met him, and he was already coming back. So Hanuman's eternal master is Lord Ram, and he is most enthusiastic to serve him. So the fact that he showed preference for Ram over Krishna is not wrong for him, because each devotee has his own particular inclination to serve in a particular relationship to a particular form of Godhead. And he's fully satisfied in his relationship. He doesn't want to change it for anything. Now, another question was raised about the relationship between the worship and the service of Lord Chaitanya and the worship and the service of Lord Krishna. So, I brought, I always bring the song book, but there's one song by Narottam Das Thakur that Srila Prabhupada used to sing about the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Savarna Shigora Mahima from Prarthana. So there are two lines here which are very relevant. Goranga gunite jure nitya lila tare spure se jana bhakti adhikari. And Srila Prabhupada explains that if one appreciates the merciful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and feels ecstasy and sometimes cries, this process will immediately help him to understand the pastimes of Radha Krishna. If one really wants permanent love affairs, he must enter into the pastimes of Radha Krishna. Simply by appreciating Lord Chaitanya's movement, one can immediately enter into or understand Radha Krishna's eternal pastimes. One who can understand the transcendental eternal pastimes of Radha Krishna reaches the highest perfectional stage of devotional service. And then he says, Gora Prema Rasarnave, Te Tarange Jebe Dube, Se Radha Madhava Antaranga. Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya's distribution of love of God is compared to an ocean, Rasa Arnava, ocean of Ras. One has to dive deep into that ocean. If one knows the secret and says, let me dive deep into the ocean of the transcendental loving movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya, he immediately becomes one of the confidential devotees of Radha and Krishna. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, all devotees serve with dasyaras. Everyone is aware of the supremacy of Lord Chaitanya, and everyone serves Lord Chaitanya with respect and veneration in dasyaras. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one worships Lord Chaitanya in dasyaras, then the day will come when he becomes qualified that Lord Chaitanya will manifest himself to the devotee as Radha and Krishna. And he will be able to serve Radha and Krishna in Madhurya Ras. At the end of the Madhya Lila, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has composed some very beautiful verses where he compares Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to a lake and the devotees of Lord Chaitanya to swans and the pastimes of Krishna are compared to lotus flowers within the lake. So the swans swimming in the lake of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, they eat the buds of the lotus flowers, which are Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna's pastimes are interspersed in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are like nectar, and Lord Krishna's pastimes are like camphor. And when you mix the camphor with the nectar, the combination becomes exceedingly sweet and tasty. So he says that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has mixed the pastimes of Krishna with the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So by serving Lord Chaitanya, by serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya, one will approach the goal of service to Radha and Krishna. Now, there are three important verses about Raganuga Sadhana. Two of them are in the verse book, and we'll discuss them in a few minutes. But I'll discuss the third one now, because again, we should understand the relationship between the practices of Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. The first point is what makes one eligible for Raganuga Bhakti. Can anyone say? Greed. Yes, that's the basic answer. Yeah. The primary characteristic in eligibility is greed, lobe, transcendental covetousness for the mood of service of one of the residents of Vrindavan. But there's also a secondary part of the definition. That's true, but that's also true. It's everything that you have said so far is correct, but it's not the other part of the definition of eligibility.
He has to follow the footsteps of Raganuga.
That's the definition of Raganuga, following in the wake of Ragatmika. Yes, independent of the reasonings and statements of the Shastra.
Greed is
the thing that makes one eligible.
What's in the hand?
No, the greed. One, in other words, the eligibility for Vaidhi Bhakti is what?
Faith,
Shraddha. Specifically in the scriptures. One has faith in the injunctions of the scriptures, and because he has faith in the scriptures and in the process of devotional service as explained in the scriptures, so he follows the process. But lobha is greed for the mood of service of one of the associates of Krishna. And the greed is independent of the reasonings of the scriptures. In other words, it is spontaneous. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has chosen the word spontaneous. For example, suppose I see a nice rasgulla and I want to have it. Spontaneously, I want to have it. Nobody has to tell me that I should have it. But what is greed? Greed means that I see the rasgulla and I decide that I must have it. By beg, borrow, or steal, but I must get it. That is greed. If I look in my pocket and I see that I have no money, and then if I think, well, I can't afford it, so I can't have it, that is not greed. Greed is that maybe I don't have any money, but still, by hook or by crook, I will get it. That is greed. So greed, in other words, greed knows no stage. When one has greed, he doesn't consider what stage he's in. We may read in the book that one should have passed anartha nivritti and be liberated from material contamination. But if one has greed, he thinks, I may be wretched, I may be fallen, I may be sinful, but still I will get it. If I think that I'm so low and fallen and that thing is so high, how can I ever get it? It means I don't have greed. In other words, greed is such a thing that it makes one pursue the goal by any means and without any reservation. Now, then, what is the relationship between Raganuga Bhakti and the scriptures? Does it mean that the devotee is independent of the scriptures? No. Although the greed is spontaneous, but once the devotee has greed, that I want to attain prema bhakti or madhurya bhakti, then he will think how to get it, how to get it, how to get it. And he will find out, somehow or other, he will find out the ways and means to get it. He will find someone who has it and ask him how to get it. And here, the scriptures are important in two ways. First of all, he always wants to hear the pastimes of Krishna with the dear devotees whose mood of service he covets. And the pastimes will come in the scriptures, in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the books by the Goswamis, and so on. So he'll be eager to hear about the pastimes of Krishna, especially with the devotees whose mood of service he covets. And he will also want to know the process. How can I get it, what I want? And there also the scriptures will say, what is the process by which one can get prema bhakti? So he will go to the scriptures. But he will not go to the scriptures because the scriptures say that you should do bhakti. But he will go to the scriptures to fulfill his ambition to serve Krishna in a particular way. So the desire is spontaneous. And based on the spontaneous desire for service to Krishna, he will go to the scriptures to find out the way to achieve the goal. Just like if I want to taste very sweet milk. So I will have to find out what is the process to get milk. I will look for someone who knows the process. Then he will tell me, you have to get a cow with a calf. And then you will have to put some ghee on the nipples of the cow. Then you'll have to keep a bucket underneath. Then you'll have to pull out the milk. And then if there are any pieces of straw, you'll have to take them out. Then take the milk to the fire. Boil it on the fire. And then add sugar, cardamom, and anything, saffron, or to make it sweet. So there is some process. And the process is told in the scriptures, explained in the scriptures. So he will go to the scriptures to find out about the pastimes of Krishna and the process by which to achieve service to Krishna, which he wants. But, so then, in one of the three important verses about Raganuga Sadhana, Rupa Goswami says that Shravanam, Kirtanam, and other Angas are of Vaidhi Bhakti may also be useful in Raganuga Bhakti. But the mood will be changed. Say, if we take Shravanam, hearing. So, in the beginning, we hear all of the parts of Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll hear Narada's instructions to Vyas, the history of Dhruva Maharaj, the history of Vritrasura, the history of Prahlad Maharaj, and all of the discussions in Srimad Bhagavatam. But when we have greed, we will want to hear specifically about the pastimes of Krishna, which are described in the 10th canto. And especially those pastimes about Krishna with those devotees whose mood of service we covet, either in Sakya Ras or Vatsalya Ras or Madhurya Ras. And so Shravanam will continue, Kirtanam will continue, chanting the holy names, but at the same time remembering the pastimes of Krishna. Or we will sing songs which are appropriate to the mood of service that we covet. Actually, most of the songs that Srila Prabhupada has introduced are already in the mood of Vraja Bhakti and especially Madhurya Ras, like Jai Radha Madhava, Vivari Shesha, Yasomati Nandana, Brajabara Nagara. These are all predominated by Madhurya Ras. So, kirtan will continue, but especially kirtans in the mood of the devotee. Then, smaranam, same thing, remembering the pastimes of Krishna with the devotees whose mood we covet. Or remembering the examples of Raganuga Bhakti that we want to follow. Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Bandhanam, prayers. The same thing, we will pray for the service that we want. Either by our own prayers, Lala Samayi. This is Lala Samayi. Praying for some perfectional stage. Or by repeating the prayers or singing the songs of previous acharyas. Archanam. Just like in the evening, during the day, Krishna goes with the cowherd boys and cows to the pasturing grounds. And in the afternoon, around the time of the sunset, he returns to the village of Vrindavan. And all of the residents of the village who have been feeling so much separation during the day are so anxious to see Krishna as he returns from the pasturing grounds. So they all go out to receive him. And Mother Yasoda stands on the steps and offers aarti to Krishna. So when we do the aarti, we can think of Mother Yasoda, that she's offering the aarti to Krishna when he comes home in the afternoon. Or, of course, there's also another aarti that goes on at the same time, which is offered by the eyes of the gopis. So all the gopis come out. They may stand on the rooftops to see Krishna. And they will offer aarti, but not with the ghee lamp, as we do in the temple. But there the deep will be their hearts, and the ghee will be their praying, and the wick will be their bhav or emotion, and the aarti will be expressed through their eyes. And when Krishna comes back in the afternoon, he's also looking for the eyes of the gopis. And he's maybe more interested in the aarti offered by the eyes of the gopis than in the aarti offered by Mother Yasoda. So everything is there, but the mood is different. Like Sanatana Goswami, he was worshipping the deity of Madan Gopal. And just keeping the deity in a tree.